Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Happy Monday morning to you. This is the first Monday in October. It's October 6th. Good morning, everybody. I'm Andy Griffin, live from Angelica's Mexican Grill Studios, and with me is Jack Lancaster today. Hi, Jack.
Hi.
What's going on, man? You okay?
Yeah.
He just walked in. We're going to give him
look
a chance.
That accident out there on Bluff Street.
I heard a crash a little while ago.
Ooh, that's a bad one. Well, there's no ambulance, just the fire department.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get that all squared away. I've been sitting in the studio for about 7 years every morning, and Jack has a very short chair. We'll get that fixed for him, too. Anyway, I've witnessed quite a few accidents. Usually I hear something and turn around because my computers are the opposite direction of the window, and so... when I say I've witnessed a lot of accidents, I've heard a lot of accidents and turned around and saw the aftermath.
Saw it afterwards.
Yeah. Weird deal this morning, Jack. I was reading the news, so it would have been. Oh, you might want to grab those other headphones because those you're not able to hear yourself.
I can't hear myself.
Yeah, no. Try those right there. Those will be better. Anyway, I was saying. A long time I've been in here, and I forgot what I was going to talk about. But in this studio, a lot of accidents. But this morning, I was reading the news. It was a 7:08 or something this morning, and I hear this loud bang. Now, you were here a few years ago when an employee decided to drive a big old company vehicle into the parking garage. The parking garage is approximately 10 feet tall. And the vehicle in question was about 11 feet tall.
Yeah.
Do the math on that one, folks. You know that...
Do we want to name names?
No. Okay. We'll leave his name out of it.
Still have those pictures on my phone.
You do? Yeah. I think I saw one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that happened this morning. I'm reading the news at like 7:07 or something, and I hear this loud boom, and... Of course, I'm up here in the studio. I really can't go investigate. I'm live on the air. So I texted Dave Hyatt, our operations manager here, and I said, Dave, did you hear that? And he said, I didn't hear anything.
Oh.
So I don't know what it was.
Something from...
Maybe a wreck out. I didn't see anything out back. It was still dark at that point.
Oh.
But I don't know what that was. That was strange. The building shook.
That's crazy.
It felt like Double D hitting the wall. So I didn't name.
That was the happy initial. Camper. We had just gotten the thing.
Not so happy anymore.
It was for the old Kickin' Country remote vehicle, and they had just got it done, stickered up. Double D took it over to the county fair and was driving it back, and he thought he would drive it underneath the parking garage.
He parked in that parking garage.
It was an over cab camper on a 250, I think, pickup truck.
Yeah.
And it was
not new. It was old.
And it slid the thing right off the back of the truck, mostly.
Made a lot of noise, too.
Yeah. We had that thing one day.
Yeah.
Then it was in a million pieces.
Yeah. Whatever it cost, they should have docked his pay. I'm just saying. they probably didn't. Okay, so I have this recording I want to play, and kind of we'll start the theme of this show. I have become a little bit of a Charlie Kirk obsessive.
Okay,
since he passed away, yeah. I've watched every clip that comes across my and I'm gonna go seeking them out. But one of the reasons I started watching a lot of Charlie Kirk clips was I wanted to see why someone would be. Angry with him, angry enough to do what they did to him. Mm-hmm. They call him a hate monger and a fascist and all this stuff. And I have not found that at all. Mm-hmm. Not even a shred of evidence of that. If anything, he was actually more of a pacifist than anything.
Right.
This clip, the first voice you'll hear, and if you don't know Charlie Kirk, he goes to college campus. He went to college campuses. And it was his mic, and then he would have basically open mic for anybody that wanted to get in line and ask him a question. And it didn't matter what the question was about or who was asking. He took all comers. And it was pretty brave of him, what he did. Pretty amazing what he did. This is one from last year. Charlie Kirk was asked, well, I'll let it play out, and you guys can listen. Tell me what you think.
I was wondering, why doesn't the right have, like, the left has dominated culture for so long. They had, you know, the feminist movement. We can blame that for destroying the nuclear home. We can blame that for destroying marriages in a lot of ways. But how do we kind of work backwards from that, kind of get back to, like, the core American values, you know, lower the divorce rate, lower single motherhood, things like that? What, there's, it doesn't seem to be, like, a practical solution that's been even attempted by the right.
Oh, so there's your question for you, right? Get you thinking about it. You know, the guy, he was, you could tell the way he wasn't really an antagonist so much to Charlie Kirk, like some of the questions are.
He sounds like he's a right conservative-minded person anyway.
But he really wanted to, he had a great question. He wanted to, how can we turn this thing around?
Uh-huh.
And I love Charlie's answer. Check this out.
Okay.
Well, the practical solution, we don't have to think. We need to point people to God and eventually to Jesus Christ. And that is the solution.
Yeah.
Is that people need to humble themselves before the Lord. They need to go back to church. They need to get married before they have sex. They need to stop engaging in debauchery and limitless amounts of drinking and the sins of the flesh. And understand that there's a God who loves them, that wants them to live a certain way.
There you go, Charlie Kirk. That's
easy now. Easier said than done for our people, I think.
When you look at some of the situations, some of the problems with the world, what I see, so Charlie, in my mind, he's right on. But what he's battling is, you know, this stuff that he's talking about is fun. The debauchery, the excessive drinking and stuff. I recently went on a cruise from New Orleans out to the Bahamas. Guess what? My wife and I were, I believe, by 10 o'clock at night, my wife and I were the only ones not drunk on that ship. Or maybe the captain, I guess. And even that's in question. But, I mean, seriously, it was
the captain.
It was unbelievable. The kind of debauchery, you know, and it got to the point where we would go to the pool. And I'm not a prude, okay? I'm not a guy, yucky, you know, I'm not doing. But it got to the point we go to the adults-only pool, and a lot of the women, and people are familiar with what a thong is, right? And I'm not talking about flip-flops, but most of the women, married women, older women, women who had no business wearing one, were wearing them.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, to the point where my wife and I were like, maybe we stay on our own balcony in our own room. I mean, it was, and like I said, everybody was in the tank by 10 o'clock. And it was just, and I, like I said, I'm not a prude, Jack. I'm not someone who, I mean, I grew up in Texas. I grew up in an area where there was a lot of, you know, that kind of stuff. And yet I was just amazed at how prevalent it was.
Well, I was reading an article yesterday, I think, that there's a big resurgence in church going by Gen Z's.
Especially men, the boys, the guys.
Yeah. And I believe in the conference, one of the guys was saying that the church, that we, in the last 36 months, the LDS church has grown by 900,000 converts.
Yeah, converts, yeah.
So that's probably mostly outside the U.S., but I think there is a resurgence of values, and feels like a pendulum swing going back the other way a little bit, you know?
Let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. So when I started here 7 years ago, 2019, I guess six and a half years ago, it was first month of 2019, there's a program we run called Early in the Morning called Focus on the Family. It's a 2-minute thing. It's kind of religion-y. The guy that runs it is a very religious guy, and it basically is advice on how to make your family better.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started, so when you do a job like that, you got to memorize a lot of numbers, you know, the cart numbers and codes and things like that, and I was struggling to identify and remember all the numbers I had to remember. I had to really recall every morning. And they were in the area, a lot of them were 3-4 or 3-5 or 3-6 numbers. So I'm like, yeah, man, there's so many of them. I mean, 3-6-5-0-3, all those numbers, they were really hard to remember. But when we download this Focus on the Family segment, the number was 85051, way different from all the other ones. And in my mind, I went, okay, this is kind of a religious segment, and it maybe didn't mean anything that the number was way different than all the others. But in my mind, that helped me to remember that number because the religious segment is way different than all the secular segments. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's the, well, nowadays, I mean, we just played a segment with Charlie Kirk talking about Jesus Christ mm-hmm. and a return to religion, a return to God. Nowadays, I almost feel funny that that's a different number than all the rest of the stuff I play because it's actually not a whole lot different than a lot of the stuff we play. You know, we have a segment, Brian Hyde, and Brian Hyde talks about God and talks about returning to morality and things like that. We have a segment on here, you know, the bookmark segment, and Terry Hutchinson isn't mm-hmm. afraid to talk about God and things like that. And it's become now... I think you're right. The pendulum has swung back now.
Feels like it is.
And it's okay to talk yeah. about that kind of thing
yeah,
again.
Yeah, it does.
There was
yeah.
a long time where you didn't talk about that stuff on the radio.
No, and the assassination of Charlie Kirk has probably accelerated that, to be honest with you, yeah. in my opinion.
Yeah, I
know?
Agree.
I mean, it's funny. We probably have one of the least religious presidents we've ever had.
Yeah. yeah.
But,
he's undergone a little bit of religion in recent years.
Yeah, getting shot in the ear might yeah. might do that to you.
Yeah. But,
I think that, the pendulum may be swinging back a bit and, it tends to do that throughout history.
There are those out there who believe that men forgetting God are the reason we have the woes that we have right now.
Uh-huh. That's the thing. How does that work? Strong men, bad times create strong men.
Yeah.
Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create bad times.
Oh, man. Sounds like some kind of pride cycle in there.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. 9:20 now on KDXU. We're talking with Jack Lancaster today. Jack, I need to make... an announcement. I have not announced it to my listeners. I am actually, at the end of October, I am done.
What?
I'm retiring.
What?
Now, I had a chat with the boss, and I told him a month ago. I said, listen, I'm going to retire. And he said, well, okay, but you need to be careful how you announce it. I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, the people are going to say you were fired or forced out. And that is not true. I am not being fired or forced out. I am just, I've had some health concerns. I'm not dying either, by the way, but I am concerned about my health. I've had some real health problems, Jack, in the last, really the last year or so.
Andy, you look fine.
I know, but there have been enough things that have kind of scared me a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, this is the health. Announcement on this show at this moment, at this time. You're telling the audience right now.
Yes.
That you're retiring at the end of October?
End of October, yes.
In Dude.
27 days.
What am I
going to
do?
You want to host the show? No, you're kind of busy.
No, man. I'm sad.
That
makes me very sad.
I appreciate it.
It's another end of an era.
I hope there are a few people that are sad. I'm sad. I don't want to leave my job, but I do... You know, somebody put it very, very, very succinctly to me. They said, listen, do you love your job, right? I'm like, oh, yeah, I love my job. It's a great job.
Uh-huh.
And they said, do you love your job more than you love your wife? And I was like, oh, no,
yeah.
I don't. So, and I kind of came, it kind of came down, she's retiring, and it kind of came down to me, all right, do I want to retire with her, spend more time with her, or do I want to keep doing this and be gone all day every day?
Uh-huh.
So I think I actually had this.
Yeah, but does she want you at home every day?
I think she does. I had thought about maybe going part time. The problem is the way this particular job is set up. Part time would be 6 or 7 hours, and if I was going to work 6 or 7, I might as well just work 8 and not retire. So
yeah.
I just decided, it's better to just. Just do it. Now, an item of business. They have not selected my replacement yet. They have five good candidates. They have two really good candidates.
You wear a size 11 shoe?
No, 13.
13. You do certainly have big shoes to fill.
Yeah, literally.
The next guy has got some really big shoes to fill. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So I cannot announce who the two really good finalists are. But,
obviously.
But, they do have a couple of people in mind, and... The concern I have, one of them knows St. George but doesn't know radio. The other one knows radio but doesn't know St. George.
Okay.
I personally would prefer them pick the guy that knows St. George.
Yeah.
Because we can teach him the radio stuff.
Yeah.
The concern I have if they bring someone from out of market in here, This is a very unique place we live, Jack.
It is very unique.
I mean, you can't, and I don't know where this guy's from, but you can't be from Boise or Denver or Cleveland or whatever and come into St. George and think you know this town, because this is a very, very unique place that we live.
We're not going to hear that opening Andy Griffith whistle theme song anymore. Dang it.
I did it long. I don't know if people remember this, but those that have been on the show, listening to the show since the beginning, back in January 2019, no, I actually did a contest to pick the opening theme for this show. Mm-hmm. I had selected five songs. I put it out there. People voted on it, and as much as I, because I like jazz music,
uh-huh.
I like kind of hair metal music. I had picked what I thought were some really good candidates, and. Still about 60% of the vote out of, remember, there were five songs, so it should have been 20% each, maybe, if they were to vote. 60% wanted the Andy Griffith theme.
Oh, my gosh. Which
maybe they said, oh, you can jazz it up a little bit. Don't, yeah, it's got to be the Andy Griffith
theme.
Oh,
my gosh.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah, I'm speechless.
Don't be. Okay. It's No, I appreciate that. I really do. Jack and I have been friends for a long, long time.
Yes, very long time.
I want to say, since the 2000, maybe?
Yeah, at least.
25 years. Mm-hmm. And we both played badly on a rec basketball team for a while, but I knew him even before that. And I've been. When did you start with this group here?
I was with Cherry Creek before they purchased, was it Bonneville that mm-hmm. was here?
Bonneville came.
So they purchased the company I was with, MB. Media group, mm-hmm. and back in the day. So we were down in a different office down by on Hilton Drive, and then like 6 months later they bought this group, Cherry Creek Media.
Okay, then that's about when I started doing sports.
Yeah.
That was before the turn of the century.
I think it was 20. I was with Cherry Creek about 18 years.
Okay.
Maybe less, 15.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right. Well, I actually have been doing sports here for 30 years.
Yeah.
So I was here before you, but I was not a full-time employee. I was just a guy that did sports occasionally.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But, Jack and I have known each other for a long time. Yeah. And I trust Jack. I'm trying to think what I would trust you with. I would trust you with money. I would trust you with my life.
Thank you.
I would trust you with my wife only because I know that you have a beautiful wife and there is no threat there.
No.
I trust you with everything. I trust you with my life, Jack.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot. Thank you.
Having been on the show. You know, it was weird, Jack. When I started here, Jack, you were a sales guy and didn't do radio. On air radio, but I would walk through the sales, what do they call it? The bullpen, the sales pit,
whatever, yeah.
And every time Jack would stop me, we would have these discussions like we're doing right now. We'd be on air. It was like we were on air doing these discussions, and you'd talk about Jordan Peterson and Leonard and Friends,
and
all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
and
all the things.
Eventually, I think you asked me, maybe, I don't know, but eventually we ought to get Jack on the air. This would be.
Yeah, I think it was your idea at one point after one of those conversations.
I think so.
Really hesitant because, you know, I'm not an on-air guy, so.
But you've done fantastic.
Surprisingly so. No one's more surprised than me. I mean, yeah. And I get people out there that are listeners that run into me during the day and they say, hey, I enjoy your take on things.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have to say, Jack, honestly, from the feedback I have gotten from friends, family, listeners, is they love when Jack Lancaster
comes. Oh, thank you. But this isn't about me today.
Well, it can be.
Well.
I like your shirt, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to court later today.
Really?
Yes. I've been summoned. I've been subpoenaed.
You're going to testify?
I am going to testify, yes.
Now, is it like, I mean, I guess you don't know yet, but do you think it'll be like you see in the movies where you're in the box?
So my business was burglarized twice in 2022 mm-hmm. in June by the same guy. And apparently he's going to court and to trial. And this is a preliminary hearing to determine if there's enough cause to go to trial.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's lucky you weren't there because I know you did.
Yeah.
And there would probably have been a firearm involved. And he's lucky you weren't there.
He is lucky, yes. We'll put it that way, yes.
Oh, okay, so, well, good luck in court today. What time do you have to go?
Well, I was supposed to be there at 9, but I bumped him to 10:30 because
well,
of this.
Thank you. You're the man.
Yeah, they allowed me to bump it. They said, oh, you're going to be on the air with Andy? And I said, yeah. They go, well, absolutely. We'll make it 10:30. I says, I get off the air at 10, give me a half hour to make sure I get plenty of time to get over there.
Nice. Yeah. I really appreciate that. I really
thank
do.
Thank you.
Jack will be on, I think, at least one more time before the end of the month.
Right? We have one more time,
We'll make sure to get you on the air and have a fitting goodbye to it all.
Oh, man. End of an era.
Like I said, I don't know who the new guy's going to be, but I would I'll give him a little letter of recommendation. You got to have Jack on.
I don't know if I want to go on with anybody else.
I know.
I don't know. This is kind of like a, you know, this is a thing. I actually look forward to this. I do not get paid for this time. No. I don't get I just do this because it's fun.
Yeah, and you're good at it.
And, well, thank you.
And you're good at it.
And hopefully, well, we'll see. I don't want to, I don't know. I haven't really thought about that. This is like, you know, this is what, 15 minutes of news to me, so I got to let it process.
Yeah. I will say this, whoever they hire, I think it's important, and I told them this, and I think they take it very seriously. KDXU has a certain audience, a conservative audience. If they tried to bring someone in here who is not conservative, they're going to lose a lot of listeners. I've had people that have known have texted me and said, listen, whoever they get, they better not be a moderate or a liberal or we're done. Yeah. We'll never listen to KDXU again. So I promise you folks, they will not
I think the thing, if I was to be in your shoes to do this show, I mean, and I consider myself a right, I consider myself right wing, but I also consider myself open minded. I do not know everything there is to know about whatever.
Right.
And if the guy that fills your shoes, if he has an open mind, but he also has he can think critically about what's going on and ask the why questions, but also have that stake or that foundation in conservative principles, then, you know, we can look at the world today and it's different than the world was 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. But we have our foundational principles that guide us. But we can also say, you know, there's a humanity involved in this, or there's mitigating circumstances in that. There's things here that you have to. I don't think that a rigidly conservative person who's dogmatic is the right answer. I think someone who can have a conversation with someone from an opposing point of view and try to learn something new.
Yeah, I agree. Well said. And there needs to be
for the point of the audience, too, to learn something new.
There needs to be, and there's not necessarily an abundance of this in the radio business, a certain amount of humility in this job. Mm-hmm. In admitting and knowing that you don't know it all.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very important. I've always felt that way. And that's why I've had a lot of guests over the years, is I like to bring people in that know stuff that I don't know.
Yeah.
That's been big to me. And one of my favorite guests is Dr. Blodgett.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that much about the medical industry. I do my research. I do what I can. But that guy is brilliant.
Yeah.
Remember, he was a former chief resident of Johns Hopkins University. He could have gone anywhere in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. We're lucky to have him.
And he chose to come back home.
We are really I will tell you that during COVID, we were so lucky to have him.
Yeah, it's true.
This community, this area, the restaurants, they were not shut down. They were allowed to stay open. He understood the big picture.
Yeah.
The guy, and my hat's off to Dr. Blodgett for that, because I have personal interaction with him on my business level, and yeah.
I like to bring on smart guys on the show, and that means Jack.
No.
You must be a smart guy.
No.
Let's do a weather break. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Jack Lancaster is here today. Oh, Jack, don't be sad. There it is.
The times that we're listening to this is numbered now. along with the dulcet tones of your
dulcet tones
of your voice.
Dulcet tones. What's that from? Isn't that from something?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's
somewhere in there. There's so much media in my brain.
I think about some of the highlights of my career, and again, I don't want to wax too philosophical here, but just interacting with people has been fantastic. The text, you know, when I started the show, nobody texted. It wasn't really a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, people text a bit, not into the show.
Sure.
And I now, every single show, I get a half a dozen to a dozen texts every show. And in fact, when I made the announcement that I am retiring at the end of the month, I got 8.
Yeah, just in the last little bit.
And that's really cool. I also had one in there from you that said, "Open the door, you idiot," or something like that. It didn't really say that. It said, "Here."
It said, "I'm here. I'm here."
But basically what in code, that meant, "Open the door, you idiot."
Yeah.
But it was locked. And I did. So. I've loved interacting. One of the things that early on in my career, I loved this. So I was a sports writer, still am occasionally, but I was a column writer for many, many years.
Uh-huh.
And the kind of the gold standard of column writing, sports column writing in Utah was Lee Benson of the Deseret News. This was back, I mean, we're talking about in the 90s. And I had entered it was called Rocky Mountain Media Association, and entered a contest. And in that contest, I had entered 3 of my columns. You send them in, and then they judge them, and then you go for this conference, and they hand the awards out. And I had won Best Columnist, and second place was Lee Benson. And they had a little newspaper write-up, and it said, Andy Griffin, winner of Best Columnist, and then it had a couple of quotes about me and about my columns, and then said, and the final paragraph was, the second place finisher was Lee Benson. And I was like, that is
you
the
beat
cool,
Lee Benson.
Coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. It just made me feel so good. I don't know if you remember this, Jack. The column I had written was about, remember they used to call they still call them this, but the Red Rocks, the Utah gymnastics team.
Okay.
And they used to have these, you remember the Carl's Jr. commercials back in the day with the scantily clad women and kind of oozing sexuality?
Yeah, well, yeah. You can't, it's hard to forget those.
The Red Rocks commercials were kind of spoofs of those, not spoofs, they kind of acted that way too.
Uh-huh.
And I had written a column about how unbelievable they're trying to promote these incredible female athletes and how they turn them into sex objects.
Oh.
And only it was all tongue in cheek and kind of funny and everything.
Yeah.
And that was the column that won. Judge had written that Andy Griffin's take on the Red Rocks was witty, lively, and irreverent.
Irreverent.
Yes.
Wow.
Witty, lively,
wow,
and irreverent. So.
So you've had it in you a while.
Yeah,
you've got this thing. You should keep writing or podcasting or something.
Yeah,
what are you going to do in your retirement, man?
Well, we have some plans. We have the first probably year and a half, 2 years. We're going to do some extensive traveling.
Okay.
Okay. After that, we have actually discussed maybe serving an LDS mission.
Oh, okay.
But it has to be a special type of mission. My wife has some specific ideas of what she wants to do.
Uh-huh.
So, and there are a lot of opportunities. I was doing some searching on that over the weekend. I was like, wow, there are a lot of opportunities. So
wow.
That's something that interests us as well.
Okay.
And then beyond that, I mean, grandkids, you know?
Grandkids.
I got
a lot of time in the hot tub.
I got 5 grandkids, and I have 3 of my 5 children have yet to have kids. But they plan on it.
Okay.
So my 5 grandkids might turn into 15 to 20 over the next
that's good.
Or so.
That's good.
So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
But,
wow.
Yeah.
Another chapter in Andy's life.
Another chapter. I felt I would be remiss, though, if we didn't spend some time today talking about Jack's favorite subject, Bigfoot.
Oh, okay.
Because if you've listened before, Jack has what he feels like is really compelling evidence that there are different types of Bigfoots around the world.
Uh-huh.
And I have been skeptical all along the way. And
okay.
So I want to give you some time, Jack, here to help me. And skeptical is a word. I don't say there isn't one. All I say is I haven't seen enough proof to show me there
Andy,
is one.
Andy, if you would have told me that we were going to talk about this, I would have brought in my Bigfoot footprint cast.
I know. You got a cast?
I've got 2 of them.
Up there in Vernal, right?
Right. I went to Phenomicon a couple months ago.
That is so cool.
And
I tried to get in, by the way. I tried to get us there.
They sold out. It was not easy to get into that thing. And I was able to meet Cliff Barackman and go to breakfast with him. He is one of the guys that was on Finding Bigfoot. And I got my picture taken with him with one of the Bigfoot casts.
Yeah, you're better looking than he is, by the way.
Oh, thank you. And the one I'm holding that I'm showing Andy right now is a footprint cast from the Blue Mountains from the... oh, crap. Now I can't remember the name of that. It was a video that's a big... It's a popular video. There's the Patterson-Gimlin film, which was taken in 1967 in Northern California.
That's the California. One where Bigfoot kind of almost looks like he's turning his head toward
the camera. She is. It's a female. Because there's breasts. I mean, you can see.
Okay.
And again, why would somebody fake a Bigfoot and make it a female? That's the weird part. So you got to think about that.
Okay.
I actually have a cast that Roger Patterson made, not of Patty, but of another Bigfoot.
Okay.
Yeah, and I have that one. That was another one I bought. And then this other one was in the Blue Mountains, and I apologize, I can't remember the guy's name that filmed it. And there was a video of that.
Where are the Blue Mountains, by the way?
They're in, they're next to Walla Walla, Washington, in southern central Washington.
Okay.
So there's that. It's funny, I've been watching a lot of Bigfoot shows lately, too.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't help myself, but...
It is
because Jeff Meldrum just passed, and he was the scientist that was working. He was a professor at Idaho State University, Pocatello, and he just passed. Like, in fact, he was supposed to be at this event, and he didn't show up because he was ill.
He was sick.
And he had brain cancer, turns out, and he, like, died a week. Well, actually, he died the same day that Charlie Kirk got shot.
Wow.
Which is why nobody heard about it.
September 10th.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but Jeff Meldrum was one of the preeminent scientists. He was his specialty was the foot structure of great apes. And then he was an anatomist.
Okay.
And he said his thing is, you know, the footprints are the thing. Because there's actually one of the big compelling, there's a couple of big compelling things, but one of them is there's dermal, that there are some casts that are so clear that there's dermal ridges. So when you think about a fingerprint or a handprint and the little creases and curves and the ridges inside, you can see that in some of these casts. You can see the ridges on the bottom of that animal's foot. Well, who's going to create a foot with dermal ridges in it so they can fake somebody out, hoping that somebody will make a cast and see that?
That's
and you think about that. And you're 30 miles off a road somewhere in the backcountry.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, I have some Bigfoot questions for you. I think what we should do is get a commercial in so that we can dive deeper into this.
In the meantime, I'm going to look up the name of that film. I can't remember.
Okay,
right now.
He's going to look it up, and we're going to take a break. Back with more after this. Again, the announcement, and I'm not sad to say, but I am sad to announce that I am going to retire at the end of the month, and the morning show will be taken over by we don't know who yet, but they're working on it. I'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy, 948 on KDXU. Jack is attempting to convince me that Bigfoot is the real deal. Jack, before we get into that stuff, I did get a text. What is your opinion about Bigfoot being Kane? When we were out in Arkansas last year, we went to a little town called Eureka Springs, just south of Missouri. They had Bigfoot signs everywhere. And apparently Cain killed Abel in Missouri and was banished to be living on the earth for the rest of his life or all eternity. What do you think about Cain?
So I think the idea of Cain came from Spencer W. Kimball, who wrote in his book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, about an early apostle or elder of the church having and he passed the story, so it's a secondhand story by the time it got written down, that he was riding along on his horse on a trail, and this creature came up alongside him, and hairy, dreadful man, and he was as tall as the man in the saddle of his horse was. So
nine feet, something like that, yeah.
And he came alongside, they had a conversation, and he said that he didn't call him by name, but the creature and him had a talk. And,
wow.
And that the creature was dreadful, and the man assumed he was Cain. So I think that's where that idea comes from.
Hmm.
These are animals. They're a population that are highly intelligent, highly secretive. There's I don't know if you've heard of the legend of Boggy Creek. which is in Arkansas.
Heard that before,
that's a Bigfoot story.
Okay.
In Florida, they have a skunk ape. In Kentucky, they have reports and sightings. And in Ohio, there's a lot of reports in Ohio. Of course, in the Northwest is the most common. But there is in Utah. Actually, there's a sighting referenced in the... If you go to the BFRO, Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization website, there's a database there of people that can submit sightings and write there and post videos and post pictures. Mm-hmm. There actually is a sighting of one in Washington County. And I think we talked about this once on the air before. And the person was driving between Ivan's Reservoir and it happened between there and the Shivwitz Reservation. Okay. And it was in the 90s. Or the late night. No, it was early 2000s.
It was two people,
and they both saw it and walked across in front of their car.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I have questions. You're ready for questions?
It was in the wintertime,
too. Ready for questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. First of all, the biggest one, I think, for those that are not convinced is why have we never found a dead one? Why do we not have evidence, like an actual picture of one up close, clear, vivid, done an autopsy, all this? How come we don't have that?
That's a very good question, and that is the question. Okay.
Yeah.
For one thing, it's very, very rare. The mountains in the North America are the soils are very acidic, so carcasses don't last very long.
Mm.
That's another thing. Also, we know there's mountain lions and bears, but how often do you run across a mountain lion or a bear carcass when you're out deer hunting or elk hunting or something?
I have never run across one myself.
Yeah, so we know they exist, but we don't. So they're, you know, carnivores are more rare, so there's hundreds of thousands or maybe millions of deer. But there's maybe only hundreds of thousands. Like, for example, in Utah, there may be, 10,000 cougars or, mm-hmm. 10,000 bears. So you're not going to run into them, really. That's one thing. Another thing is we don't know. We think that carcasses have been found in the past. But, again, unless you get that thing into the right DNA, into the right thing, there is hair evidence that's unaccounted for. But again, until you have a type animal, until you have a body, and you say, okay, now we're going to identify this as a species, now all this other data, we have something to compare it to.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. If you pull hair of a Sasquatch and you pull a DNA sequence out of it, you don't have anything to compare it to. So you really don't know what it is.
Right. Right.
Does that make sense?
Like if they find DNA at a crime scene and that person's never been arrested.
Or never had their, yes, then they don't.
You're not going to have any record.
You don't have a reference point, yeah.
Okay, got a text. For decades, houndsmen have covered every square inch of the Rockies and the Sierras.
Mm-hmm.
There would be more evidence of something like Bigfoot. What if it's dimensional?
Right. This is another thing to explain away why the creature has not been identified by science, if you will. I just think it's rare and it's intelligent, so it avoids people. And Native American tribes have legends and stories, and it's part of their natural world that this mm-hmm. hairy man is. In fact, there's actually petroglyphs in Central California in a cave of what they think is Sasquatch family. A big male and children and a female. Is it interdimensional? I don't believe so. I don't believe in that thing happening. I just think it's an animal. And actually, in the fossil record, and this is Jeff Meldrum's take, the scientist that just recently passed away, that was studied this a lot. It's possible that there's a creature that lived in Asia, in China, and northern and eastern Siberia called Gigantopithecus, which was an ape. Think of an orangutan that's 10 feet tall.
Wow.
And they have they have jawbones and teeth that they found of this creature. And you can tell the size of a creature by the size of its jawbone, for example.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So think of an orangutan that's 10 feet tall. And if it lives on its hind feet or walks on its hind legs, upright like humans do. And again, the last ice age, 20,000 years ago, the thing migrated to North America. There you are. There's a way that something like this could exist here,
and that's kind of related to my other question: is Bigfoot, Yeti, Sasquatch, Abominable Snowman, all those, are they the same
Almasty
species?
Yeah, they're probably the same, similar species.
Are.
Yeah,
because you have,
and there's a Yeren in Australia.
Yeah,
there's a there's Indonesia has a hairy man that's not as big. China has a hairy man, of course, in the Siberia and in the Caucasus and in western, or rather central Russia. There's videos there's three or four really compelling videos of a Sasquatch-like creature in Central Asia. You know,
so the question related to my skepticism is, okay, we haven't gotten a body or anything like that. What about pictures? Why? Every video I've seen has been far away or blurry or like, why do we not have I know they're rare, but why don't we have a better picture? I mean, everybody has pretty good cameras nowadays.
So usually what happens when you're out there and you're not searching for a Bigfoot, you're out there doing something else.
Right.
Okay. So you got your camera with you now. Sure. And these cameras only been around for a few years. And again, these creatures are rare. They're smart and they hide. That's what they do. Well, you come across a 10-foot or an 8-foot tall creature, and you're on the same ground. You're within 50 yards of this thing. You know you're not at the top of the food chain. And then your primal instinct kicks in.
Yeah. True.
And you turn tail and run. Because how long does it take to pull your phone out of your pocket, turn it on, punch in your code or do whatever you do, punch the phone or the camera app, and then start recording video?
Yeah.
You know, you think about that time, that's what, about 15 seconds maybe to do all that?
Enough time for him to get you.
Well, and not only that, enough time for you to think about what's the consequences if I do that instead of turning around and getting the heck out of here.
That's a good point.
So there actually is some interesting video in Utah. There's probably a couple of a family of Sasquatch in the Provo Canyon area. In Spanish Fork,
really?
Canyon area. Yeah.
Tell us again that website, the research website.
BFRO, Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, BFRO. And they've got a really good database. You can look it up. You can look up reports by state, and they have the dates, and then have a report that the person submitted. And then they have a follow-up report where the person from BFRO called them up and interviewed them again about their report and then put his comments in there.
Wow.
So it's actually pretty good.
That was, by the way, a nickname of mine in high school. I was Bigfoot. 13 and a half will do that.
Yeah, they will. So.
But I did find out that most shoe stores sell 13s and 14s. They don't sell 13 and a half, which is my shoe size.
So you're always too sloppy in your shoe or too tight.
Usually I get the bigger one because I want to be able to wear it.
Sure.
I can't get the 13s on, especially if they're narrow.
Yeah.
And so I am Bigfoot. So it does exist for sure because I'm one of them.
Yeah, if you walked around Bigfoot. But the thing is the foot morphology. So they have a thing called a mid-tarsal break. And what that means is, so I'm holding my hand up here, and where my fingers join into my hand, that knuckle right there. Okay.
Right here.
So think about, that's about how, if you look at the full length of your hand from the tip of your fingers to the base of your palm of your hand, the way your fingers join your palm of your hand is about halfway down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So on your feet, your toes aren't nearly as long as.
Right. Yeah. Your toes are not half of your foot.
So your toes are going to flex at the joint, right? On Bigfoot footprints, the toes join further back on the foot.
Really?
And so their footprints make a, when they're walking through dirt, it makes a kick up in the dirt where the break is, right?
Sure.
But it's, so on a human, it's further up to the front, and the Bigfoot is further to the back on the foot.
Interesting.
Yeah. And another thing is, humans walk, when they walk their stride, their left and right foot, they walk with a little offset on the footprint. So you've got the right foot, and then the left foot, if it goes up, take a step, it's going to be a little to the left, and the next one's going to be a little to the right. So you can tell.
Sure.
A Bigfoot is in straight line.
Really? He walks supermodel.
They walk in a straight line, yeah. Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah. It's really wild.
And there have been, like you hear about the footprints. People mm-hmm. have collected casts and done the footprints.
Yeah.
They all are that way for the most part.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it really more
compelling. There's those consistencies that really make it very compelling. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to think, if one of these aren't faked, now you got an animal. Now what do you do with that? Because some of them are faked, yeah. Some people are faking it. That's what they do. But you got ones that aren't. Now what do you do with that? You got a creature that made it.
A week ago in the news, they had discovered a new species. I think it was a lizard, a new species of lizard in Asia. And everybody's like, well, we know about all the species on this earth. We do not know about
There was a giraffe-related animal in Vietnam that was discovered after the war.
Yeah.
That didn't, we didn't know what existed.
We don't know
about the size of a elk.
We're out of time, folks. I'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in to the Andy Griffith Show. Jack, thanks so much, man.
Thanks for having me, buddy.